This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing,
yes, I'll sing
the wondrous story,
the wondrous story
of the Christ,
of the Christ
who died for me,
who died for me.
Sing it with
lost,
but Jesus found me, found the sheep that was astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way.
Yes, I'll
sing,
yes, I'll sing
the wondrous story,
the wondrous story
of the Christ,
of the Christ
who died for me,
who died for me.
Sing it
with
the saints in glory,
the saints in glory.
He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet.
Yes, I'll
sing, yes, I'll
sing
the wondrous story,
the wondrous story
of the Christ,
of the Christ
who died for me,
who died for me.
We'll be bringing you the second part of a message entitled Sin Put Away. That's the good news of the gospel, that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, sin can be put away, separated as far as the east is from the west. I pray the message will be a blessing to you today. And not only does this passage of Scripture confirm and emphasize the reality and certainty of death, it also says judgment is real. Judgment is real. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, some will say, I just believe that the God I worship is a God of love, and my God would never judge anybody. But the fact is, the true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God of the Bible, has judged, is judging, and will judge. He sent a worldwide flood in the days of Noah, and all drowned except the 8 members of Noah's family and those animals that were in the ark. God said every imagination and thought of man's heart was only evil continually. And so he sent that flood. He's a holy God. He hates sin. He will punish sin. He will judge sin. He rained fire and brimstone down on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He sent 10 plagues on the Egyptians. That land had been devastated. The water turned to blood. The flies, the disease in cattle, on to the death of the firstborn. God sent judgment upon them because of their idolatry and the refusal of Pharaoh to recognize the true and living God. His response was, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Scriptures repeatedly declare that there is judgment after death. Matthew chapter 7, an extremely sobering passage. Verse 21. These are the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Here are people who are religious, They said, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here is judgment. Judgment pronounced upon people who assumed that all was well with them, but they had not come to true repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and the Lord said, I never knew you. Matthew chapter 25 describes judgment. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he begins to describe the evidences that they belong to him. These were not works they performed in order to become his children, but evidences of grace that they were his. He said, I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And on the description goes. But look at the contrast. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me. There's two instances, both of them spoken by Jesus. Somebody says, I like to think about the compassion of Jesus. And that's wonderful to think about. Somebody says, I like to think about the love of Jesus. That's wonderful to think about. But Jesus, as the perfect God-man, spoke truth and spoke of the fact that there will be a day of judgment. And those who do not know him will be cast from his presence to suffer his wrath forever. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Judgment will come. And judgment is final. It doesn't mean this is a temporary thing. That's illustrated very well in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. A rich man died and lifted up his eyes in torment and cried out for mercy. He asked that he could just have one drop of water put on his tongue as he suffered. But the answer was, there's a great gulf fixed between us. And no one can pass from where you are to heaven. And no one can pass from heaven to hell. It's a great separation. And the rich man in desperation says, then send somebody back to preach to my brothers. And he says, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, they will not hear one risen from the dead. Confirming the fact that this judgment is final. That indeed makes it an extremely sobering truth that must be considered. But now on a brighter note, in this very same passage, we learn that salvation is sure. It's sure because Christ came to put away sin, to put it away. So it's separated as far as the east is from the west and cast into the depths of the deepest sea. He said he did this once. Once for all. The idea of a perpetual offering of Jesus Christ, which some hold, is contrary to Scripture. The idea that a daily offering, a daily sacrifice must be made is contrary to what the Scripture says over and over again, that Jesus died once for all. Our text says it. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27 says, once. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, once. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, once. He came and once for all, he put away sin. In the book of Isaiah, the prophecy was made long before the Savior came. Chapter 53, beginning with verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ came once for all, and he laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of those that were given to him by the Father, all of those that are drawn by the Holy Spirit, all of those that come to faith in him, repenting of sin and believing on him, all their sin was put upon him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how you were redeemed. That's how you were rescued from this fallen, sinful state. Ruined because of Adam's transgression. Born with a sinful nature that you could not conquer. Guilty of sin that you could not pay for. Lost, hopeless, helpless. But Jesus Christ came to do what you could never do for yourself. No other person could ever do it for you. Only one. There's a song that suggests that God searched through heaven to find somebody to come. My friends, there was no search. There was only one who could come. Only one who could be the Savior. The Son of God himself, who would come here, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, proving him to be the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, so that he would go to the cross and redeem us with his own precious blood. This salvation is sure because Christ put sin away. It is sure because Christ appears in the presence of God for us. Think of that. He appears for us now. If you were to be brought into court, you had to go down to the Hamilton County Courthouse because you were guilty of a crime. You would want an attorney there to represent you. You would want someone with a reputation, someone who knew the law, someone who knew best how to defend you. Let me tell you, my friends, the fact that we will die, the fact that there is a judgment, we desperately need an advocate. We need an intercessor. We need one to represent us. And this says that's exactly what Jesus Christ does. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. By the realization of that truth ought to make us happy every day that we live. To know that in spite of our fallen nature, in spite of our unworthiness, in spite of the fact that we deserve nothing but the grace of God, we have Jesus Christ pleading for us in heaven, making intercession for us. You couldn't have a better representative. No attorney could equal him. He's there to plead on the basis of his perfect sacrifice. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Every day, every hour, every night, throughout the night, throughout the week, throughout the month, his work is not discontinued. He is our intercessor. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. He tells us in the preceding chapter that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we must acknowledge that we are sinners. But then he comes to tell us here in chapter 2, I write unto you that you sin not. But here's the good news. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So when we sin, when we come short, and we do on a daily basis, we can come to the throne of grace, finding mercy and grace to help in time of need. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. We come before him, confessing our sin, listing those sins, admitting those sins individually, confessing to him, I am wrong, I have failed. I have disobeyed you. I have sinned. I ask for forgiveness. And his promise is that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then the fourth lesson we learn in this portion of Scripture, rather the fifth. The fifth lesson that we learn here is that Jesus is coming. Verse 28 of Hebrews 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He comes to save us from judgment. He's coming unto salvation. He comes this time without sin. He came the first time to deal with sin. And our sins were put upon him, and he paid the price at Calvary. But he's coming back without sin, unto salvation. There is judgment, but he comes to save us from judgment. He comes to deliver us. He's coming back. Jesus Christ is going to return. When the disciples saw him ascending 40 days after his resurrection, the angel saw them gazing up into heaven and says, why stand you here gazing into heaven? This man that you have seen go away is coming back. In like manner as you've seen him go, he is going to return. Jesus Christ will come back. Peter tells us that in the last days there will be scoffers saying things are going to continue as they have always been. There is no such thing as the return of Jesus Christ. But the fact remains, Jesus said he would return. The angel from heaven said he would return. The scripture repeatedly confirms that Jesus is coming back. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading the 7th verse. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, here's the judgment part of it. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It's going to be a terrible day when Jesus Christ comes back for those who do not know him. He's coming to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. He's coming to bring punishment, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. But look at the contrast. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He's coming to be admired in those that believe. What a day that will be for Jesus Christ to return. The voice is heard, the shout of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. To see him, to be with him, to be like him, to be glorified, and be with him forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. This is the practical benefit of believing Jesus Christ is coming back. Are you looking for him? Does this truth purify your life? Do you think from day to day, how am I going to spend my time? How am I going to live this day? Am I living it unto myself to satisfy my own personal desires and interests? Or am I living it to his glory? In my activities of this day, would I be happy for Jesus to find me doing what I'm doing, saying what I'm saying, going where I'm going? He that has this hope in him, that truly believes Jesus Christ is coming back, it has a purifying effect. I'll think of it. We know not what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Hard for us to envision that, but this is the truth of his word. Revelation 22:20 says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Is that your thought? When you think about Jesus Christ coming back, do you think, well, I really wouldn't want him to come right away. It would interfere with some of my plans. That's the case. Shows there's something lacking in your love for Jesus. If you truly love Jesus, the thought of him coming back, seeing him, being with him forever is a joyous thought. And that's what this passage says. He's coming back to them that look for him, eagerly await him, anticipate his coming, excited about his coming. He's coming to those. He shall appear to them this second time. This expectation of his coming then is a sign that we love him and believe on him. Do you look forward to that day? Does it stir joy in your heart to anticipate Jesus Christ coming back, being with him, living with him forever, free from sin, the consequences of sin, all of the horrible results of it, to be with him, to be part of that triumphant chorus that lift up their voice, singing, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy own precious blood. Jesus said in John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Sin put away. Jesus put it away on behalf of all those who ultimately believe on him.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Today we have brought you the concluding part of a message entitled Sin Put Away. If you'd like to get the complete message on CD, request it when writing us at the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. Till we greet you next time, this is LaSarah Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Nation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His good.